Turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah and chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And as we have been in our study of Jeremiah, we're just going back a notch to come forward. So we're going back approximately 100 years earlier than what you're reading in Jeremiah and chapter 12. Now, thus, here's Isaiah dealing with the 10 tribes in the north and looking to the Babylonian captivity in the days of Jeremiah. Now, chapter 30, and in verse 1, looking at the 10 tribes and Israel in general. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Reason, that they may add sin to sin. We don't want to have any light because that would make things have to come out right. So we're going to stay in the dark so that we can do eat what we want. Now, sliding from chapter 30, verse 1, over to verse 11. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, Jeremiah, Isaiah in this case, get out of the way, just back off, and the end of verse 11, and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease, disappear. God, get out of our life. God, get out of our thinking. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Now, with that, chapter 30 and verse 15, God's answer and response. Verse 15, you know, wonderful statement. For thus saith the Lord, God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. You're just going to rest, return and rest in who I am, and you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence in much assurance shall be your strength. That's all. You just want to rest in me, in quietness, in fully assured, and you'll be saved, safe, strong. But the end of verse 15, they would not. It wasn't that they could, it wasn't there. They just weren't going to avail themselves of it. Verse 16. But they said on the contrary, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall we flee, and we will ride upon the swift. In other words, no matter what the problem, we're always going to find a way to escape, a way out, and we'll get a faster horse than the enemy and be able to run. Verse 16, we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. In other words, God isn't going to, no matter what the solution is, apart from God, we're never going to win. Because either it's our solution in the flesh, and you're looking to beat the world in the flesh. You're asking humans that are using humans, thinking about humans and the way that humans act and do, and asking it to come out better than human. And it can't come out better than human, because all you have are humans. How are you going to win in this thing? You aren't going to win. You have no outside help. You have no way to survive and succeed. Now, sliding down to where we want to get here. Verse 18. Therefore, in the light of such a negative, this is the 10 tribes are going to go, and so ultimately the two. Verse 18, And therefore will the Lord wait. Why? That he may be gracious unto you. Now, that they don't want. We will not We will not honor you, God. We don't want you. But God, you're going to wait that you may be gracious. And therefore, verse 18, when people understand your grace and mercy, you are going to be honored, exalted. And when you're exalted, that He, God, you may have mercy upon us, which we desperately cannot do without. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. So, God, here you are waiting for the system, for the believers, for the Israel, and the people that are there watching the Assyrian captivity about to happen or happen. As they're watching it, they are to wait on you. Is the Assyrian captivity going to go away? Nope, it's going to happen. Now, so slide down, if you would, your eye, to verse 20. Verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it's going to be tough. And you think, boy, life isn't coming out here very good. Though he give you the bread, allow it all to happen. Yet shall thy teachers, be removed into a corner, hidden into a corner. No more. In other words, God, where are you? Where's our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Where is it? It's all dark. There's no light. There's no help. When you get your heart right, you're going to find the dark clouds disappear, and you're going to find I'm present. You're going to find all my resources are present, everything I need, everything you need. So now, sliding over, if you would, back over to Jeremiah, and in chapter 12. Now we're going to go 100 years approximately later, and here's Jeremiah. Now, and remember, we've done this, but we'll just to get the flavor of it anyway. Jeremiah has a problem because he is informed that his family and friends want to kill him. And he's informed that. And thus he is moved, motivated, understandably, to ask God questions that are the first direct questions in God's Word that He gives us, of asking the question. So, chapter 12, verse 1, the end of verse 1. First question, wherefore, or why doth the way of the wicked prosper or succeed? How come the bad guys keep seeming to win? The bad guys. That's the first question. And the second question, wherefore, why are all they happy, at ease, secure, and that deal very treacherously. The word treacherously has to do with to cover, to deceive, to deal falsely. How are the bad guys able to be so relaxed and so succeed and they're secure? How come? They're quite comfortable being and doing and thinking and as they are. That's the question. That isn't just Israel. That's the wicked, the world we live in. That's what he's looking at. Now, he's looking for that. He's looking for an answer now in the light of that. And we share together as we did it. Then we slide down to another thought in verse 4. How long shall the land mourn? How long is Israel going to be in the condition that it's in? Like in Isaiah, the 12 tribes in the north, we don't want to hear, we don't want to learn, we don't want to understand. We're going to just sit there and let it all pass by. So here they are, how in Jeremiah's time with Judah and Jerusalem, Benjamin, how long is this going to be like this? Because Jeremiah's facing the same thing Isaiah faced. Now, so having said that, And we shared together in verse 5, etc. If Jeremiah, God doesn't answer, he helps Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you have a problem running and understanding, walking, getting out of bed and going to work, living in your life in your atmosphere of Israel, Jerusalem, unbelief and rebellion, the same as in Isaiah's day. Now, if you're having a problem with that and running with the footmen, then the question arises, well, what's going to happen when the horses come? Now, you're getting all wearied and upset with the footmen. What's going to happen when you have to run with horses and horses run fast? What are you going to do now? And then he goes on and says, as you know, what are you going to do? It's one thing in verse 5, wherein thou trustest and in the land of peace. In other words, the world right now isn't as bad as it could be, Jeremiah, is it? It isn't good, but Nebuchadnezzar isn't knocking the wall down yet. And so therefore, it could be worse. Now, what are you going to do, said God, when the Jordan overflows? And when the Jordan overflows, all the wild stuff and all the wild animals, and you have to live in that jungle, in that swamp. If you think it's bad, if you think it's a nice day now, it isn't bad in America. It isn't bad. It could be worse. That's the point. It can be worse. Do you understand? It's not going to get any better. And we shared that all together. So you need to understand that. God, here we are on planet Earth, and we're on a movie, we're part of history and the outworking of your purposeful design. And God, here we are, and we're in a very critical, super-duper time because of all of the stuff happening globally, nationally. It's an awesome time. So it's hard to hear the news or look at the news or think about what's going on without understanding turmoil, without understanding turbulence, without understanding trouble, trauma. It's all there. Wow. So now, here in Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah it's going to get worse, and we read in verse 6, for even thy brethren, again, and the house of thy father, the family, your own friends in your own town of Ananoth, even they have dealt treacherously. There's your word. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. Treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called the multitude out. In other words, they're putting a little wanted poster up on the post everywhere. Jeremiah is a wanted criminal, and find him. There's a reward. We're going to kill him. Find Jeremiah. That's what they're saying. In verse 6, and call the multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. They tell, no, Jeremiah, we love you and we want you. That isn't really, really true. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Now, that leads us to the section we move to next, and that's chapter 12 and verse 7. So in the light of the questions, in the light of how long, in the light of the world, looking at the world, looking at the whole thing, and Jeremiah, you're going to have to understand that things are going to go from bad to worse, and you have to understand that, did a little bit of that to go backwards, that God, in his wonderful grace, created angels. He gave them the power and privilege of choice. Satan and his angels chose negatively. And then God, to take it a step further for the wonderful outworking of his design, made us humans, and we have choice. And then we could choose. And Adam and Eve chose. Cain did not choose. Abel chose, and the rest of them in the days of Noah, thousands of them, they chose not. So it's a choice. And so God, you're letting it all well work, and you allowed this to happen. That's correct. So you have to understand it has to outwork itself. So here we are on planet Earth, and here it was Jeremiah. And God, so you think, Jeremiah, you feel bad about things, and you're sort of grieving and saying, wow. God said, I want you to take another look. Here's Israel, which you're concerned about. Here's Jerusalem, which you're concerned about. It's my city. Israel is my people. I want you to know, I want you to, would you please understand chapter 12, verse 7. God said, listen, if you think you care, Jeremiah, would you please listen to me? I am the God who created them and saves them. Verse 7, I have forsaken mine house. All of these are in the verb structure of looking, complete. We're looking into the future. It hasn't happened yet, but all of it's going to happen, and it's looked at as it is already happened because it's going to happen. So that's the tense of the verb. Now, I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. God says, will you listen where I'm coming from? I'm looking at this thing. You don't even understand the seriousness and the awesomeness that what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to clobber them. Do you understand, Jeremiah? So back off. You're yelling, you're complaining, fix things. And it isn't going to be fixed. So now, if I can, verse 8. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest, trying to hunt me down, trying to catch me. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it, said God. Verse 9. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird, and the birds round about me, are against her. And think of a bird, and then the other birds see that bird eating, doing, and the other birds of prey all come after that bird. So here's Israel doing what it does, and Israel's doing what it does, opens the door for all these other nations to be encouraged to do what they do. Our own world we live in right now. Because of our passivity and indifference, North Korea, China, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Libya, all the way across, keep going. Venezuela, Cuba, they're all doing what they're doing. No one's going to stop them, and they're taking advantage of it. Very much so. Well, they can, and they're doing it. Everything's moving. It isn't just a little thing. It's a big thing. So now, here we are looking, and so the speckled bird, and I can, verse 9. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Everything is, wow, is there anything, God? Is there anyone there? Can you save it from all the, everything's against Jerusalem surviving? That's right. I've given it up. And when you go against Jerusalem and Israel, you go against God. When you go against the local church, you go against Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, and that's why it's so special, and man, you fight for it, because it isn't just people coming in and out. It's the place where Jesus Christ is to be honored. And it's his name on the line here, not us. And that's why we don't mess around. I don't mess around. I hope I do. Don't mess around. I mean, it's a serious stuff there. To me it is. And I know it is to you too. Now, is Jeremiah a God? Are you going to keep loving? I am. Verse 10. 12 and 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it a desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. No one cares. Does anyone care what's happening to America or anything? Verse 12. The spoilers, those that are spoilers, the destroyers, are come upon all high places through the wilderness. In other words, the enemy is just plowing in, and there's no stopping them. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Verse 12, the spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour them. In other words, God is using the Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in this case, and Nebuchadnezzar is opening the door for everyone else to feel the same way about Israel, to feel the same way. Edom and all of them, they're going to applaud when Babylon does what it does to the temple, etc. Now, verse 12. For the sword of the Lord shall devour that which God is using. The people are going to go. The enemy, God is using the Nebuchadnezzar to spank Israel, and in the process, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even unto the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. In other words, all the other nations, the whole thing is in upheaval. It isn't just Jerusalem and Nebuchadnezzar, because all the other countries that are worried about Babylon and all of that. Verse 13, they have sown, Israel, they have sown wheat, but they reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain. That is, they have eagerly did what the best they could as they understand their own solutions and how to do them. And they gave it. They got weary, sick, trying to do the best they can to make it come out right. And it wasn't coming out right. They have sown wheat, but weep thorns. They have put themselves to pain and shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues, your harvest, because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, that's God. Now, God said, I want you to know what you want. Jeremiah, you tell me how the men of Anathoth want to kill you and you're concerned. And I told you it's going to get worse, and we shared it last time in Jeremiah 38 in that. They're going to not only prison. This time they're going to, in chapter 38, different prisons, Jeremiah is going to end up in a dungeon, a hole in the ground. Jeremiah, if you think it's bad, wait till the whole city's against you, let alone the little town, your family and your friends. Wait till the whole place is against you. Now, so having said that, and here they are, and God says, would you understand what I'm up? You understand how I feel about all this? You understand what I'm looking at? And Jeremiah says, I didn't even come to close. I don't even know how you've gone. How much do we understand about being lost? L-O-S-T. How much do we understand about being unsaved? The wrath of God abideth on them. Do you understand that? Here's the people you work with, go to school with, you live with. Do you understand that? That's awesome, isn't it? Jeremiah, do you understand where I'm coming from? That's what we're trying to get ourselves to understand. Here we are in a world that isn't going, isn't coming, and it isn't getting any better, and isn't going to get any better, not yet. And we're going to look at that if I could just move faster. But if you just understand, you and I have no idea how God feels. And God said, before you, Hebrews 12 in that, before you get all upset about your difficulties, remember what I did for you on Calvary's cross. I bore the sin of everybody, and everyone hated me. And my own disciples forsook me. And I did that. So before you open your mouth and complain about anything, back off if you understand who I am. Back off. Jeremiah, I'm telling you it's going to get worse. And I'm telling you how I see it. And how I'm telling you how I'm doing with it. So Jeremiah, back down. Take it easy. Wow. Okay. Now God, that's wonderful. Now, God, I want to understand that. So when I sit there and say, well, that sin isn't bad and that thing isn't bad, hold it. It's robbing us of a wonderful, unique, privileged to be able to do what? My peace I give, what? Unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My joy, not your joy, my joy I give to you. Now, do you enjoy the joy that God gives? Well, the things that my life's hard, my physical, my work, my home, my family, and we got all of that. We don't enjoy any of that. That shows up. And we want to be able to have a positive, wonderful relationship to God so that we can profit from this. Now, the plus side. May I do it? I'll do it quickly. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord. Now, God, are you going to do anything about it? Jeremiah says, how long? How long is the land going to, how long before you do something? Well, hang on. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors. So God is tying himself to Jerusalem, and he looks out the window, as it were, and turns around, and all my neighbors are against me. So God, you're identifying yourself with Israel. That's right. I'm identifying myself with a city. And I want you to know it's all going to happen. I'm going to let it happen. But I want you to know it's my heritage, and I'm going to let it happen. But I want you to know, as I look out, I see all the stuff that's happening in Israel now and going to happen in there. And they're evil. All the people around them are evil, Muslims, etc. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. They're my people for my honor and glory. My people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land. Here's all the bad guys out there, and I'm going to judge every single one of them. Every single one of them out there. So be of good cheer. You aren't going to see it, but it's going to happen. In due season, it's going to happen. All of those bad guys, Assyria, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Persia, all of that. Verse 14, I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. I've scattered them all over the place, the Jews. I'm going to bring them out of all those enemy cities, nations. Verse 15. And, not only am I going to do that, but in the kingdom, coming up in the future, God, how far are you going to... I'm telling you, Jeremiah, it's... Take a good look into the future now. See what's going to have to... How you have to get there through the College of Hard Knocks. Verse 15, and it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. In other words, I'm going to go and bless the nations that survive. I'm going to bless them. Matthew chapter 25, the sheep, all those nations, Gentiles, I'm going to bless them. Verse 16, and it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people in the millennium, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal. You guys, the nations, all taught my people Israel to act like you do, religiously and otherwise. But, now, verse 16, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be Then shall they be built in the midst of my people. They're going to go and swear by me. So all you guys that told Israel to do wrong, I'm going to look to God for to do right. You guys are all going to get saved. You guys can all have every nation. All you bad guys that went after Israel, I'm going to give you all a wonderful opportunity to get it straight. But in the millennium, if you don't, a warning to all. But, verse 17, if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck them up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. If they don't do right, I'm going to destroy that nation. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so we're asking now the questions. God, you helped them. You did. And so how long is the land going to mourn? Well, it's going to mourn until I'm finished. And the nations are going to be in prevail over, if you would, you know it, but exercise just your Bible, over to Daniel. Daniel and chapter 2, because you know all this stuff, but the more you know it, the better you know it. Daniel chapter 2, picking up if I can. Remember the times of the Gentiles. Remember Nebuchadnezzar levels this Jerusalem. The times of the Gentiles begin. And it starts with Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and Rome and the ten nations in coming out of Europe, which is in the process of happening now. And in the process of that, God, what then? Israel is going to be under the gun. So how long are we going to wait? Well, we're going to wait. Jeremiah, you're going to see it? Nope. No. Malachi, are you going to see it? Nope. It's going downhill. So it went. Now here's Jeremiah back here told it's going to get worse. Here's Malachi, it's going to get worse. And then we go the period from Malachi to John the Baptist. And we go through all those hundreds of years, whatever. And we go through all of that. And then we come what? What do we come to? Anything better? No, the very people that said, we will not, said, we will not have you as our king. We reject you. And you crucified. Israel crucified you. Now what? Israel, did you understand you crucified him? No. We're dead set against him. So God, is anything got better for you? No, it hasn't got better at all. It's just as bad and worse. And God, what have you done? Well, I've taken, and I told them the only sign I would give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As he was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be and rise again. That's the only sign, and we shared it 5,000 times. That's what the church's assignment is, not to have a school, not to go through a routine of having whatever. The church's assignment is to be fully alert, awake, alive to their relationship to Jesus Christ. You believe Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe in thine where? You believe in your heart that what? God raised him from the dead. And every single believer is supposed to be a walking testimony, a little light in the middle of the darkness, so that all the world is going to know what? The only sign that he's going to give to anybody, he's not going to give them a big understanding of Genesis or something else. He's going to expose them to the person of Jesus Christ, the only God and only Savior. That's what it's all about. It isn't about, and we have a whole lot of other things going on, people do. And that isn't what it's about. So we end up getting sidetracked in secondary, third things, and never lose the primary thing, is your wonderful relationship to Jesus Christ that you express. And that's what the world needs to know. He's risen. And you are a testimony to that. You've received him as your Savior and Lord. And you're a testimony to that fact. And you enjoy what? Being a little light in the darkness, should be. And in the process, that's our job. Our job isn't to have a perfect anything. Our job is to have a unique relationship to God as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All the while, we have fellowship, very God-conscious. Now, that's hard to find, isn't it? Of believers. That's what it's about. It isn't about anything else. It isn't about your work. It isn't about your marriage. It isn't about your health. It isn't about anything. It's just about that relationship. And as you honor and exercise that relationship, you reap all of the benefits of God's saving grace. You couldn't keep up with them. And when you start trying to get the benefits without the relationship, it doesn't work. Now, so having said that a little bit, here's Daniel. And Daniel, you know, I'll read it in verse 44, I guess, quickly. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms from Assyria, Egypt, all the way down, and it shall stand forever. So Israel, you're waiting for what? The return of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's it going to take to make that happen? It's called the tribulation. Remember in Jeremiah 30 in that. A time of Jacob's trouble. The world will have never seen what's going to happen. And Israel, how are you going to ever get saved? I'm going to make trouble in the world, allow it to happen as never before. And the whole world and you, Israel, are going to pay and awaken by you as you pay the price. Why is the wickedness? Why is the evil? Why? Because your heart is wrong. And the tribulation is going to awaken your heart to my wonderful person. And I'm going to honor, as you turn to me, I will honor it. Wow. So, Jeremiah, would you cheer up? It's going to be a long haul. You're never going to see it, not in your day. Paul, are you going to see it? Not in your day. Are we going to see it? Well, we aren't going to see really yet, but we're certainly a harbinger of the shadow, as we shared, the big shadow of the monster down here. And we're in the shadow now. And as we're moving towards the monster, the Antichrist, the system, we move in the shadow. The shadow isn't the reality of it. It's just the telling you that there is a reality coming. And so our whole world system is warning us as we move day by day, hour by hour, where we're headed. And God, could we make it a little better and have a nice America? No, we're going to take the simple questions that were asked in Jeremiah 12:1. Why do the wicked succeed? Why are the wicked secure? The world is very comfortable. And our country is very, unfortunately, it's very upset, but it's very comfortable. How uncomfortable is it? It isn't uncomfortable enough to pay the price to fix this. And you have that, you know that without me getting into that. You know, socialism, here we got socialism, come on. We aren't Europe, we're a republic for which we, what, stand. We aren't a socialist country. What do we want to be a socialist for? And when we got a movement, a big part of our country is sympathetic with that, by way of 8 years, 7 years so far, we're moving there. Wow. Well, it's all right. It isn't all right. It's going to get worse. Jeremiah, now, if you would, quickly, let me try to apply it for you. Over, if you would, please. Oh, you know the Lord would say, quickly, the Lord would say in Matthew chapter 16, I must tell you, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer, S-U-F-F-E-R, crucifixion. Why don't you just stay with us and we'll have a little outing up here in somewhere and never get to Jerusalem? It is required, Jerusalem. Acts chapter 20. He must go to Jerusalem. No way out. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, you know it. I'm going to read it. Acts 20. Listen to Paul. God, what are you going to tell Paul? It's a nice day coming. Paul, you're going to have a nice time. Yeah, you've been in prison and shipwrecked and all of that. But the rest of your life's going to be a wonderful little thing, you know. I mean, wow. Wow. You didn't tell Jeremiah that. You didn't tell Moses that. You don't tell us that. John chapter 16, verse 1. Don't be offended. I'm trying to tell you what's going to happen. If you're forewarned, if you foreknow, you are forewarned. True? I warned you. I warned you of what was going to happen. Well, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. Now, chapter 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, said Paul, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save except the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city I go to, saying, what do you keep saying to me? I keep going another day's journey. I stay in the Super 8, and I'm moving down the road. And as I'm going, you tell me the same thing. Each day you tell me, you don't ever tell me it's getting better. No, I don't. I don't. I'm not kidding you. Verse 23, save the Holy Ghost witnessing in every city, saying, the bonds and affliction abide me. But, Paul, why do you keep going? Why don't you turn around and go a different direction instead of Jerusalem? But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry, the service, from which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I have an assignment. And we have an assignment. And it isn't a picnic. It isn't going to be. It never was. It's a journey. And you have to grow and you have to work out your old nature, which is lousy, all of us. And we have to learn to live with that monster, your old nature. And you have to thank God He saves us from it. And then we go down the corridor and we keep going. And so, God, here we are looking. And so we're going to go. And in the world, you will have Romans 8 in closing. Romans 8. All kinds of things, but just hope you get a little bit. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. For I compute that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, no matter what and how they are, to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. Here's all the sufferings and all the heartache and all the headache all over the place. That's right. And God said, would you understand, that isn't going to go away. I didn't come to give the world a nice little trip, easy trip to fix itself, because it's never going to fix itself. I came to save a people out of it. And so be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And the glory that I'm going to reveal. Now you say, well, where? Now hang on. What do you know about Colossians 1:27? You ready? Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. What did you say, Lord, in John 17? I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting to take you to be where I am, to see the glory that I have made possible for you. So the sufferings and heartache and headache and all of that is there. But God, though our outward man is perishing and perishing and perishing, but the inward man is what? Renewed, renewed, and renewed. So that's what we want to do. Otherwise, you get sour, you get bitter, you lose the joy, you lose the peace, and then you try to do your work, your home, your job, your health, your wealth, your family, your friends, your enemy, and try to hear the news and look for something nice, you know, where someone only killed three dogs instead of three people. And you look for something that's nice, better. And it isn't going to be, because I'm not looking for that. You aren't looking for that. We're just looking for what? I don't expect anything. Isn't it? I got to quit. Aren't you glad it isn't worse? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know how worse it could be? Worser? Is that right? Do you understand how bad it could be for you if God's grace wasn't on you? If you're saved? And for those of us who are saved and don't exercise it, isn't it wonderful that God doesn't level the condition we're in, and God doesn't punish that. God's patient. We just read it in Isaiah 30 and 18. God waits. He could clobber us, but he doesn't. And here we sit in such a world, and God, and we say, oh, well, hold it. God, you, thank you very much. What do you think of that? We'll pray. Did you get a little of that? Jeremiah, it's a wonderful thing. You're trying to help me, God. You're trying to help me. That's right. Trying to get you to see. Before you get down in the mouth and lose it, would you take a good look at where I'm coming from and what I'm doing? And understand that don't you, using, again, Ephesians 4:30, don't you grieve me. That's to believers. Ephesians 4:30. Don't you be a pain in the neck to me. Don't you do that to me. Now, I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to let you go, but don't make it miserable for me in your little life, and I will appreciate it. Sanctify the Lord God in where? In your heart, and honor him. Wow. It's neat, isn't it? I think it's neat. I do. I think it's all falling apart, but we aren't saving any of it. You know, what can I tell you? So, God help us. Perhaps you have a particular prayer.